بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. یو ٹیون ان ٹو یوتھ ٹاک وتھ می بی بی عائشہ لہے آن ریڈیو اسلام انٹرنیشنل میڈیم ویو 154 ٹی ایس ٹی وی 826 اینڈ آلسو سمر کاسٹ آن سیریس ایف ایم 105.7 ان دی ایسٹ رینڈ. الحمد للہ اٹس بیوٹیفل سنی سیٹرڈے ہیئر ان انڈونیشیا اینڈ ٹوڈے وی گوئنگ ٹو بی ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ دی ریوارڈ اینڈ ورچوز آف گیونگ آف چیریٹی. مائی گیسٹ از مولانا ارشد فقیر چھبڈا فرام Marlboro, and we're going to be going through all the questions that you may have when it comes to giving charity. We'll be discussing zakat, we'll be discussing lillah, we'll be discussing sadaqah, and the numerous benefits that you will have by distributing charity, the rewards that you will gain, inshallah, in this world and in the hereafter. Ramadan is the ideal time for us to be giving of our time. You know, last week we spoke about social activities for our youth to be involved in, and many times I refer to giving of your time, gathering hampers, going to family members, getting some money together and helping those who are less fortunate than you are. An ideal time to earn multiple rewards, to also earn the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to get the dua of the person that you are helping. So inshallah, we are going to be discussing these issues or these aspects, and if you have any questions, please call us on 011-854-1548, and Mawlana Arshad Fakir Chabrat will be more than happy to answer your questions. Mawlana Arshad Fakir Chabrat, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
وعلیکم السلام ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ.
اینڈ ہاؤ آر یو ڈوئنگ دس مارننگ؟
الحمد للہ.
شکر الحمد للہ. نا مولانا، ایٹ دس ٹائم آف رمضان، او ایم شور فرام دا بگننگ آف رمضان، یو نو پیپل you know, realize that it's time, you know, that they want to obviously give off their time, because obviously they want to earn multiple rewards. What is charity in Islam, if you can explain to our listeners, please?
جی بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. First and foremost, we have the aspect of charity where Allah Ta'ala is mentioned in the Quran. One is known as the fard aspect, which is regarded as compulsory, which we know as zakah, and in the Quran in many places it is also used as the word as sadaqah. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala makes mention, خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها. That take zakah from their wealth. Here, sadaqah means zakah.
Mm-hmm.
Take zakah from their wealth so that you may purify them and bless them thereby. In other places of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala uses the word zakah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Those who have believed and performed good deeds and established the salah and they continued giving zakah, for them is their reward, what their sustainer, what their Rabb. Neither do they have any fear, nor will they grieve. That is in Surah Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise in many other places, Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاةٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ. And whatever you give of zakah, desiring the pleasure of Allah ta'ala, it is they who will have their recompense, their deeds multiplied. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. Allah Ta'ala here speaks of the old in whose wealth there is due portion for the beggar and the dispossessed. So here Allah Ta'ala is speaking of general wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, several categories of charity are defined in Islam. We said one most important being zakah, which is obligatory, which is compulsory. We know 2.5% from a person's wealth, they discharge minimum once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is sadaqah, which we normally term as voluntary charity, and lillah as well, for the sake of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
So these two aspects that we normally have, one is, like I said, zakat, compulsory, one is sadaqah or lillah that we give. Sadaqah we can give to anybody. When it's to such an extent that even feeding one's family, it is regarded as sadaqah, as a charity. A smile is also regarded as charity. Putting a morsel of food in the mouth of one's spouse is also regarded as charity. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, like I said, your smile for your brother is a charity. Your removal of stones, thorns or bones from the path of people is charity. Your guidance of a person who is lost is a charity. In another hadith, Nabi alayhi salam says, a charity is due for every joint in each person on every day the sun comes up. To act justly between two people is charity. To help a man with his mount, with his load, lifting him onto it or hoisting up his belongings onto his load onto his conveyance is a charity. And a good word is also charity. Removing a harmful thing from the road is also charity. So this is the aspect of charity in Islam.
Subhanallah.
Said, a believer's shade on a day of Qiyamah will be his charity. On that day when all other shades will be gone, Allah Ta'ala will grant us shade and shelter. Those who give charity and care for the poor, they care for the needy. The Muslim sacrifice in this life will be the protection on the day of judgment, inshallah.
Ameen, thumma ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. You know, Malana, very important points that you've raised, because, you know, when it comes to, obviously, Ramadan, and children are observing, you know, our youth are observing many organizations going out and giving out hampers and giving off their time to help, you know, people who are needy and underprivileged. And sometimes our children don't understand, you know, that all these simple acts that they are so used to doing every day is actually charity. So make that niyat, I would imagine, make that niyat that, Ya Allah, you know, I'm going to be doing this today, please accept this from me as sadaqah.
Very important, sister, you made mention of niyat.
Yes.
And many a times, we do things. We do a lot of good, alhamdulillah, from the time we get up in the morning till the time we're going to bed, we are doing some good actions. But there are many a times in the day that we do these actions without any niyat. Now, I've read some places, Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahumullah had made mention that there are two aspects. One is a good niyat, one is a bad niyat, and one is no niyat. Now, obviously, a good niyat is doing for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, that whatever we do it for the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They were solely ordered to worship Allah Ta'ala, worshipping Him alone. This is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we only worship for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. The second aspect is a person has a wrong niyat. He's doing it for every other intention. I'm giving out charity so that people may call me that I'm a very, very wealthy person. And this is, you know, in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to mind now, that there is on the day of Qiyamah, three types of people will be called in front of Allah ta'ala. One will be that person who is an alim, a knowledgeable person. One is a person who is a mujahid, who fought and gave his life in the path of Allah Ta'ala, a shaheed. And the third will be a wealthy person. And these people will be brought and they will ask, what have you done? So obviously the scholar will say, oh Allah, I preached and I taught and I gave advices. May Allah protect us, may make us among them, inshallah. That I did this all for your pleasure. Allah Ta'ala will say, no, you are lying. You did it so people may call you a good alim, a good orator. People may call you a, you know, you're a top person, you're a top speaker. You just did it for praise. Now, and then the person will be taken and headlong, he'll be flung into the fire of Jahannam. Allah protect us.
Ameen.
The second is that person who went and sacrificed his life in the pleasure of, in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And when he will be brought forward, he will be asked, what have you done? He'll say, look at me, I've given my life in your path. Allah will say, no, you did it so people may call you a warrior. People may call you a very, you know, a courageous person. You did it so that your name may be put up to a certain plaque. You did it so that, you know, your name, people may know you and your name may be remembered. So now for him there's no reward. Also he'll be flung in the fire of Jahannam. And the third is that wealthy person, when he will be brought, or that, and say, what have you done? And it is said that, no, I did so much of good work. Look at the charity that I have given. Look at the organizations I was running. Look at the orphanage I was running. How many people, how many widows I took care of, orphans, everything. And Allah will say, yes, you did all this, but you did it so that people may call you a generous person. You did it so that you wanted your name in this world. So now for you, there's no reward, and that person will be taken and he'll be flung in the fire of Jahannam. So that is what is regarded, we're doing it for the wrong niyat, for the wrong intention. And as I said, the third aspect is no niyat, bare niyat, something we're doing without any intention. That we do it so, we're getting up, we are fasting, we performing our salah, We are giving out charity, we are helping people, but we do it with no niyat. If we're going to work also, we're just doing it for the sake of going to work. We're not doing it because Allah Ta'ala has asked us to put bread on the table of our family. It is our responsibility. For example, I'm the man of the home. Or a person is going out, that is my responsibility to take care of the needy. So that is therefore I'm going to help somebody. There's an orphanage. We just do it because, you know what, everybody's doing it, I also want to do it. No, we need to do it with the niyat. It's important when we're doing it, the intention needs to be correct. Number one, doing it for the pleasure of Allah. And number two, see that we are not doing it for name and fame, but at least we have a niyat, and everything done with a niyat will be rewarded. Sometimes a person may be doing one action, but he has a niyat of several things. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us that for every niyat a person has, Allah will reward him. So you've just given an example. A person is going to the masjid, and on the way he makes niyat that I'm going to give my brother a lift, or I'm going to greet so and so, or if I meet a sick person, I'm going to visit, or if I meet somebody who's poor, I'm going to take out this charity, he's got some money in his pocket. Now he goes to the masjid, but he had an intention of five things, but he only did one thing. For example, he couldn't find anybody to give a lift, he couldn't find anybody to be kind, he couldn't find anybody to greet on the way, or he couldn't find anybody that he could discharge the charity that he made niyat of, but he went to the masjid and he performed the salah. Allah will reward him for every niyat that he had made. He will get the full reward for an action for that, inshallah.
Ameen. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Like I say, the importance of intention is so great. It is so, so great. And then just for, you know, for our young listeners and our parents that are listening in, you know, if you can just, you know, it's a reminder for all of us. We do tend to forget, and sometimes, you know, we do confuse the terms. When it comes to, obviously, giving off of zakat, giving off of sadaqah, giving off of lillah, who can it be given to, especially when it comes to zakat?
Okay, inshallah, the basically, we know, we're not going to the masail of zakat.
Yes, yes. Just the basic, you know, for sadaqah, lillah, you know, and zakat. Just basic that should be given to.
Okay, inshallah. Let us start with the simple aspect of, start with regard to the aspect of lillah first, right? Because that is something which is quite easy. Lillah, as I said, lillah, general lillah, sadaqah, etc. That can be given to anybody. For example, lillah, we say for the pleasure of Allah. Now any person, example, a masjid is collecting for the building purposes of a masjid. There you cannot use zakat, you can use lillah. When giving out zakat, zakat is given to individual people. There are eight types of categories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of. Allah has prescribed in the Quran and Majid that who can the zakat be given, right? So we said lillah, we give normally to masajid, we give it out to madaris, you give it out to any other person as well. But zakat, there's eight categories. The first is al-fuqara, the poor, meaning low income or those type of people living, like we said, below the bread line. They don't have anything, they have less, below the nisab, they are living below the nisab. The needy, someone who is in difficult, again, who don't have much, is more in debt, etc. Those whose hearts are to be reconciled, meaning new Muslims and friends of the Muslim community, those in bondage, debt-ridden, and those who are in the path of Allah, or the wayfarer, meaning a person who's traveling and he's stranded. So these are the type of people that zakat can be given to. Best and very important, before discharging our zakat, we should rather, you know, the best is to take out your zakat yourself and go and give it yourself, you know, as taking your family with you for the parents, but you go and give out your charity. It creates also in them a sign of appreciation for what Allah has blessed them. I mean, sometimes, you know, a particular family suffering, she's a widow, she has orphans, she's living in a 2x2 bedroom, and she's making ends meet, and then you go and you discharge. Yes, one very important aspect is that you don't, when giving out the charity or zakat, you don't have to say that this is zakat. You make your niyat. You don't make the person feel, the opposite person who's receiving it, you know, let him feel down, that, you know what, oh, I'm in that situation that I have to take zakat, and, you know, the kid also must hear that, you know what, now this is your zakat, I'm giving you my zakat. You don't speak like that. You give it out, give it quietly, discreetly, inshallah, Allah knows, Allah will reward you. And So that is the aspect of zakat. When it comes to lillah, as I said, masajids, madaris, you give out in Islamic centers, which I need. All these people in the community, maybe the person is not zakatable, but he's still going through difficulty. Not every person who only can take zakat is meaning he's in difficult. Maybe the person has a but, he's working everything, but end of the month when it comes, he still doesn't have anything that he can put away. He's just living hand to mouth, and you can see his situation. You can give them some, like lillah or sadaqah. Sadaqah can be given as well, as we said, sadaqah and nafila, the optional charity can be given to people. When you see a person on the road and he's begging, when you're giving him an apple, that is sadaqah as well. Like I mentioned in the beginning of the program, the different types of sadaqah. So, and assisting somebody is sadaqah. So take your children with you. It's important that you take you with them and you make them see what you are doing and for who, for the pleasure of Allah, obviously, and see the people, the situation that they are going through. Number one, it will create some, inshallah, we hope that it will create some type of appreciation in their lives, because we are living in a time when you can do what you want for your kids. It will be thrown back on your face and say, you know what, you've done nothing for me. You know, there's normally always it is said that, you know, we normally take it as a joke, but in reality, look at it. Just take the meaning from it. Just take a lesson from it. You find a woman, I'm just giving an example, ladies, I'm not, you know, I don't want anyone to come down.
Just an example.
A person comes and, you know, you bought her the best dress. You gave her the jewelry that she's wearing. On every finger, she's got a ring. She's wearing the ring that you have bought, all gold, 22, 18 karat, whatever it may be. Nice Raymond wheel watch or a Rado or whatever it is. And she's wearing the latest abaya and the best shoes and whatever. And you know what? And she's yet to come to you and tell, pointing at you with all the things that you bought and tell, you know what, you gave me nothing. You bought me nothing. So, you know, that is the reality. That is how we are living as children, our youth.
That is true. That is true. And I think when it comes to our youth also, you know, it's that fake perception, obviously, of entitlement. I mean, so much what we take for granted, there are other people who are praying for it.
Yes, definitely. And this is, I'll give a message to our youth that, you know what, make shukr to Allah. Your parents are giving you. They are working day in and at night. They are coming home. They are tired. They are sacrificing. They want to give you the best education. Many a times as parents, we feel that we did not get it when we were young. So we will go to any extent to give it to our children. And one thing which has crept into our Muslim ummah, Allah forbid, Allah save us, but it's part of us. We cannot lie. We cannot deny it. We are all involved in it. I myself is the aspect of brands. You know, that we need to give our children a brand. It has to be a Nike. It has to be a brand. It cannot be just any type of, you know, when we were young, if you want to go for e-shopping, I remember very clearly, your father, my late parents, may Allah grant them Jannah for the qadr of noor. We had a shoe shop. We couldn't think of buying shoes from anybody else. We had to wear whatever they were selling, no matter it's not a brand. Even if it's like, you know, the no-name brand, we had to take it. In our days, it was North Star khakis.
Exactly.
We didn't have to wear it. Now you can't go, your friends are buying. I remember when we were in school, that shoe which came out was a Freedom shoe, and everybody was buying it. We couldn't go and buy it. We had to buy a replica of it or take a replica of it from the shop.
Yeah.
You cannot, you're going to go barefoot or you take what you get.
Which is the truth. And also, Mulana, you know, interesting point that you're raising, you know, before with families, you know, there were many more siblings. So if you were three brothers or four brothers, you all wore the same thing. It was not negotiable. You know, you'll get this color, what would you like? Your parents would give that to you. And the thing is that, you know, we were content. We were happy. Alhamdulillah, we were so happy. We all dressed the same. It didn't matter where it came from. We all looked good. We all felt good. And we were grateful for what we had.
Definitely. You like I said, you couldn't choose. You have to wear the same thing. They'll take you to one shop, buy everything, and your e-shopping is done.
That
on the day
true.
Of Eid, you're all wearing. If it is kurtas, everybody went to M.I. Nana and bought from the plaza. And
true.
If it was shoes, and everyone's going to Abram stores and buying. But that was it. Nowadays, with the kids, I mean, you are going, and he will not buy this one because why? His cousins got it, or the younger brother cannot buy it because the elder brother took it and it becomes a problem. And yet, after you finish from there, you gave me nothing. You didn't buy anything for me. What is that? I just once a year I'm getting, you know, things like that. There is no appreciation shown, and I beg the youth, watch your words, think about it, look at those people who have less than you. This is what we are taught in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When it comes to aspects of our dunya, of our worldly aspects, material aspects, we should look at those who have less than us. That will create some appreciation in our heart and will bring some contentment in our heart. And when it looks to the aspects of deen, then look at those who are doing more than us. Don't think that, you know what, I'm going for salah, at least I'm doing my maghrib and my isha and my tarawih. That guy doesn't even come. No, look at those who are going on, that despite him in being matrik, despite him studying, he's a hafiz of the Quran, he's doing door, yet he's performing all his salah with jamaat. Look at that. Don't look at the little that you are doing when it comes to the deen aspect.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely. And a reminder for our young listeners, as you say, you know, this is common, you know, saying that, that people say, you know, like I was complaining about the shoes that I didn't have until I met someone who didn't have feet. So we tend to forget, we take things for granted. Well, inshallah, we're going to return after the ad break. To our beloved listeners, please call us on 011-854-1548. If you have any questions that you would like Mulana to answer, please call us. To our youth as well, any questions that you have regarding charity or, you know, something that you and your friends or your family are thinking of doing and you need some guidance on, please call us. We look forward to listening to you, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and you're back on Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Leher, on Radio Islam International, Million Wave 1548, TSTV 826, and also simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. Just a reminder that just for the month of Ramadan, Youth Talk will be aired between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Inshallah, after Ramadan, we go back to the 10 a.m. slot, inshallah. Today we're talking about the virtues and rewards of charity with Maulana Arshad Fakir Shabdat. And, you know, we want, obviously, you know, the show is first and foremost a reminder for ourselves, and then inshallah to educate and empower our listeners and our youth on how you can gain multiple rewards, not just for the month of Ramadan, but inshallah for a lifetime. You know, the importance that during the month of Ramadan, we gain closeness to Allah, we make dua that Allah grants us that hidayat and that ilm and that taqwa to follow through, you know, for the rest of the year and for the rest of our lives, inshallah. And that is what we're hoping to do in empowering ourselves with the knowledge of charity, inshallah. Well, Ana Arshad, when we're talking about charity, and we explained, as we explained earlier in the show about zakat and lillah, what are the hadith narrated by Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding charity?
There's a hadith of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala which is recorded both in Bukhari and Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ يُسْبِحُ الْعِبَادَ فِيهِ إِلَّا مَلَكَانِ يَنْزِلَانِ فَيَقُولُ أَحَدُهُمَا. The two angels descend from the heaven every morning, and one of them says, اللَّهُمَا أَعْطِي مُنْفِقًا خَلَفًا. Oh Allah, replace for the one who spends. وَيَقُولُ الْآخَرُ اللَّهُمَّ أَعْطِي مُمْسِكًا تَلَفًا. And for the second, he says, oh Allah, destroy the one who withholds. In another ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ. Whatever good you spend, he will replace it. Now in the hadith, it is mentioned that the dua that Allah, the angels make, that the person who spends, they are making dua to Allah, that, oh Allah, you replace it, you give him a better substitute in this world or in the year after it should be taken. So the dua, the second aspect, the dua to destroy or withhold, may mean that Allah will annihilate, Allah will destroy the person who does not spend in this world. Allah will cause him some difficulty or destroy his possessions, or his possessions will be withheld, or he may result in some type of ruin in the year after. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أنفق يا ابن آدم ينفق عليك. That, oh son of Adam, spend, you will be spent on. So in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, a person came and said, سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي إسلام خير. Oh Nabi of Allah, what is the best actions in Islam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تطعم الطعام, that to give food, and وتقرأ السلام, to extend the greeting to those who you know and those who you don't know. And this is, you know, if you look at the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sometimes you will find a Sahabi came and asked a particular question, which type of deeds are best? Nabi Alaihi Wasallam would say, going out in the path of Allah. Or if he, and Allah Ta'ala inspired him and he understood that this person has a parents and perhaps he's not taking care of his parents, he would then say, looking after parents. So you find different types of a hadith. This particular Sahabi came, Nabi Alaihi Wasallam said, that you give food to people, you feed people. And then he said, what taqra'u salam, and you extend the greeting. It's so important. I mean, Allah has blessed us with this return from the Haramain Sharifain. There we know that every person, Muslims inshaAllah,
yeah,
every person is from Islam. But you find that many a times we only greet a few people. You know, and in our own communities as well, if somebody new comes in the community, we see him in the masjid, how many of us take our time to make salam? We're passing by people. The only thing we need to do is make salam. You don't have to stop and you don't have to shake hands. You just have to make salam, utter it with your mouth. What reward is there? The other day, I went for salah to the Monday Masjid Siratul Jannah, and I came out and there was a youngster, and he just stood outside. And the only thing he did, he was greeting everybody. Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. I just looked at it and said, subhanallah. People looked at him that this guy is crazy. But in reality, look at it, the amount of reward he's getting. They're just making salam and bringing a smile to somebody's face. So there are many, many narrations in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a person who spends for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him great reward. Abu Ayyub radiallahu ta'ala narrates that a person asked Nabi Islam, inform me of a deed that will admit me into paradise. He said that you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without ascribing any partner to him. You establish your salah, you give zakah, and you maintain your ties of kinship. That is important. Also, another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Jabir bin Abdullah narrates, Nabi alayhi sallam delivered a sermon to us and said, O people, turn to Allah in repentance before you die. Hasten with good deeds before you become preoccupied. Maintain contact between yourselves and your sustainer by abundant remembrance of him and by abundant charity in privacy and in public. If you do all this, you will be provided by Allah, you will be helped, and you will be restored.
Subhanallah. Ameen. You know, Mulana, you're talking about the salam. You know, salam is also giving of charity. You make, you're rekindling brotherhood. You know, you're telling the other person with assalamu alaikum, may Allah's peace and mercy and blessings be upon you. So you're telling them there's no hatred between us. So alhamdulillah, you know, we forget that. We often forget that it's the little things that we do that occupies the biggest places in people's hearts, inshallah. Well, Ashad, very often we hear this, charity begins at home. Please share with us your thoughts regarding this.
This is very important. If we see in Quran and Majid as well, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second juz speaks, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا هُجُوهَكُمْ قِبْلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about what is good. And then he makes mention, obviously speaking about bringing iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says that to give from the well that you love. First he says, ala dhawil qurba. Dhawil qurba means those who are your close relatives.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very important when we say charity begins at home.
Mm-hmm.
Many a times we find our society is such, a person will be, mashallah, every organization will be knocking his door, because they know this bhaji gives, and he gives in large numbers. Every masjid which comes, alhamdulillah, what's your need? I'll sponsor the carpets. I'll give the bags of cement. Take it from me. How much you need? 200,000. Don't worry, I'll sort it out. I'll finish this project. I'll finish that project. The Jamiyat will come to him, alhamdulillah. Radio Islam goes to him, alhamdulillah. I'm not saying no, people shouldn't go. Don't get me wrong, listeners. I'm saying very generous. But what happens is, let's reverse the scenario. His own family are sometimes suffering. And I mentioned this on my Jummah Bayan a few weeks ago as well, and I said, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. This is the reality in our society, that let us do some soul searching and see if we are part of it. So your own family is suffering. You know your brother, who you grew up with, you share the same parents, you know, he's this, he cannot even make it. He's going through such difficulty. Yet, you know what, you just turn a blind eye towards him, and you prefer to give to other organizations, because why, they're your name. Yes, you're doing for the sake of Allah, but you're also getting name, so that, you know, you get some type of perks, as they call it, you know. Some types of perks, as they call it. You know, when the senior alim will come, they're going to bring him to your home, because why, you're the most charitable and generous person in the community. etc., etc. Now your own family members are suffering. It is your responsibility first to see towards them. I'm not saying do not give to organizations, yes, give to your masjid, your local masjid, your madrasa as well. But take care of your family. How sad is it that you are giving thousands in charity where your own brother has to go to the very same organizations you're giving, he has to go and knock their door and get zakat from them to fulfill his needs.
Just very true. And then again,
so
you know,
it's very important. I know of a person who passed on, may Allah Farid Khabar was Noor.
Ameen.
It is mentioned when he passed away, people came and they informed that in the family, this person, Allah had blessed him with wealth. He did a lot of good work. But one thing he had is that whenever he found out in his family that there's somebody who had bought a home on a loan and is paying an interest-related debt, so he used to go to the person and say, why did you take a debt from the, why did you take a loan from the bank? Why are you drowning in interest? Do you not know interest is haram? The people would say, yes, definitely, but we had no option. We needed to buy a house or whatever it may be. He then would say, okay, what is the amount of your debt? And he did this to several family members. It's not just once off. He went to them and says, okay, how much are you owing the bank? And they would say, you know what, we have got 1.2 or whatever it is.
Yes.
He would say, no problem, I will settle the debt. You pay me, I don't want any interest, I don't want any profit on it. You save yourself from interest, you settle he settled the debt, and you pay me off. Alhamdulillah, how many of his family members were given a roof where they could pay off the debt interest-free, and at least they had to live a good life?
May Allah reward him in abundance, inshallah. Inshallah. Just simple acts of kindness towards your family members. And you know, like we stressed that, you know, when you're helping people in your family, obviously, you're fulfilling an obligation also that Allah would expect you to do, to look after your family first. And you know, at the end of the day, your children are watching, your wife is watching, your family is watching, they're seeing what you're doing. And inshallah, your niyat, I mean, I would assume your niyat would be that, you know, my family should learn from my actions. And inshallah, carry out those actions. And if children grow up in a home where they see that, you know, their family help other people, their family's doors are open, and they're always giving off their time to assist those in need, inshallah, they will grow up in such an environment and be second nature to them, inshallah.
Definitely. Also, another problem we find, sister, is that, you know, we have, in sometimes a person will come and they'll tell you from the family, now this is another problem we have. But you know what, whenever you're in difficulty, you know where's my door. You know what, you just knock the door, come to me, don't worry, pick up the phone, just message me. So now, I mean, you at least giving the person some type of hope.
Yes.
And if it's done with a good niyat, Allah will reward you, inshallah. But now many times you find, now when the person has a difficulty, it's difficult to ask somebody in first, firstly.
Yes.
And the most difficult people to ask is your own family. You know, I mean, many people will tell their children, you know what, if you have time, you have difficulty, go to anywhere else besides going to your own uncle. Go to anywhere else besides going to your family. Where you know that the uncle is the millionaire, he's the billionaire, he's earning blocks of flats, and he's got the whole town is his. But the person won't want to send his own family because why? We know the type of nature of the person. I'll give you an example. And, you know, a person came, one alim went, and he needed to buy a home. And knowing definitely the little salaries that many of our ulama earn, so this person needed to secure a home. And he went, his uncle said, whenever you need something, you know, we are family, come to me, no problem. So he said, okay, no problem. He picked up the phone, he arranged a meeting, and he went to meet him. What's it, you know what, I need to buy a home. He said, oh, okay, okay. I don't have a home. I'm currently living in the Jamaat house, but I wanted to secure a small roof for the, over the head of my kids. Anything can happen. He says, no, no problem. Now the person, instead of saying, okay, where you want to buy the house, what's the story, instead of giving him a bit of courage, and he starts questioning him, okay, how much you earning? So he says, okay, this is what I'm earning. And what are you doing? And instead of helping him, he's now telling him, you know what, you must cut off spending here, you must stop doing this, you must stop doing that, you must stop doing that. This person says, I came to him for help to purchase a home. He's telling me how to cut down here. I mean, what am I going to eat? He's telling me to, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that, I shouldn't. So he thought to himself, you know, forget about it, leave it. Nevertheless, he left it, he turned to Allah. He said, ya Allah, you know what, I'll leave it to you. Our time came, he managed to buy a house, and alhamdulillah, he rented the house, he covered the amount that he had to pay. Today Allah has blessed him, he bought two houses for his other kids as well. So sometimes a person feels, you know what, because I've got it, I'm going to now dictate to someone else how they should live. But You know, thinking that that is the way I'm helping him. You're not helping him. You are making him feel, when he comes to you, you are making him feel so inferior in your eyes that the person is more hurt when he's knocking your door.
Which is true. And again, this reminder that, you know what, your family members are watching, children are watching, and we pray that, inshallah, you never come into that situation where you will be on that receiving side and those same children that you were doing for will one day do that to you. We pray that never happens. Because it's learned behavior as well. You know, they watch what you do.
Definitely.
But inshallah, we make dua that Allah grants us all hidayat and inshallah grants us the ilm and taqwa to do what is right and pleases Allah. Like we say, we do what we do, inshallah, first and foremost for the pleasure of Allah, inshallah. Inshallah. Hey, Mawlana, you know, we talk about again, smiling is a sadaqah. And we said, you know, giving off your time is a sadaqah. And alhamdulillah, during this month of Ramadan, we pray that Allah accepts all our good deeds, inshallah. But how important is it that we make dua that inshallah after the month of Ramadan we continue in this way?
Yes, many a times we feel, and a lot of people do, that they only take out their zakat in Ramadan. Obviously Ramadan, because of the virtue that every action, first action, you're getting multiplied 70, etc. So therefore people only take out their charity in Ramadan. That shouldn't be the same. Yes, take out something for Ramadan, but remember the whole year there's people who are in need.
Yes.
So you need to take out your zakah as well, according to whenever it becomes wajib and necessary for you to take it out. You shouldn't delay it for Ramadan only.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, for example, in Safar, you have to take it out, then take it out then. Allah will reward you. That is important when it comes compulsory to do an act which is farz upon you. In that moment, you should do it. Don't delay it.
Yes.
And likewise, with your nafal charity as well, take out in Ramadan, but also take out throughout the year. Stagger it. That, you know what, I am taking out so much in Ramadan, alhamdulillah, I take out more because of the reward and everybody gets more thawab for it, inshallah. But during the year as well, you know, you need to also make the niyyah that I will continue. If every day I had the opportunity of taking out maybe 10 rand sadaqah every morning, I'm going to continue throughout the year, inshallah. And in that way, you know, you'll be able to continue the good that you are doing in Ramadan. One of the ways of knowing that the actions that you carried out in the month of Ramadan were accepted is that you have the opportunity and the tawfiq of continuing to do those actions out of Ramadan.
Inshallah.
So, inshallah, we hope that Allah accepts and gives us the tawfiq. For example, we were punctual on our salah in Ramadan. After when the moon of Eid recited, it was not be that now, you know, we lock up our salah, or like the old, you know, you say put the Quran away now. Some people say, I didn't finish my Ramadan khatam, I'll do it next year Ramadan. No, that's not the way. You continue with it. If you are reading one juz, try to do one juz every day. If not, at least minimum half a juz. If not a quarter, or at least few pages daily. But say, you know what, I'm not going to start my day without Quran. I was giving out charity. Every day I will take out something, even if it means an apple. Sometimes we feel, you know what, these guys on the street corners, the glue boys, theirs, whatever it is, you know, are we then giving them, and by giving them we are actually, you know, creating more for them to beg. You know, you are in a situation, you don't know now, should we give them, shouldn't we give
them? Yes.
Some ulama, you ask them, they say, no, give them. Don't deprive anybody who asks you. Somebody will say, you know what, you are encouraging the begging. So we are in the middle. What should we do? Simple, take some bananas, take some apple, take something that they can eat where they're not going to sell it, and we give it to them. After that, if they throw it away, it's up to them, but you did your duty.
Yes.
It's winter now. It's winter, and I mentioned this previously as well. Allah has blessed us with warm clothes in our home. We have heaters. We have underfloor heating. Mashallah, many people of us, we're staying and we sleep with electric blankets and whatever it is. There are so many out there who don't have enough to cover them. Those who are staying in on the roadside, in pipes, those who are in the squatter camps, who've just got a shack, which is with zinc, and you know the cold which penetrates to it in winter, and in summer the heat which penetrates, both ways they are at loss. Take out something. Give them a blanket. Or you buy a few socks at least. Keep it in your car. You're driving fast. Give them a glove. You know, I mean, we don't have to buy something which is very expensive. You know, you can buy something but which you can afford, and you'll be able to give more people.
Definitely.
You know, at least, you know, Sirri Sikti rahimahumullah was a pious person. So once it was very, very cold and he wasn't wearing anything. So he said, oh Sirri, why are you not wearing a shawl? He said, I'm seeing my neighbors who are suffering. I don't have anything to give them. How can I wear a blanket in front of them? Rather, I will also go through the same thing that they are going through. He'll make somebody feel. Imagine now we're living in our homes, in our communities, and we're living it up, and the people are seeing us, and they don't even have sufficient jersey. And here we want to, you know, walk out with our Louis Vuitton jacket whatever it is, a Burberry, and, you know, because it's a brand. I mean, come on, instead of spending 5,000 Rand on a jacket, I'm not saying don't buy the best brands. Maybe decrease it a bit and buy somebody else. 4 people will be able to get, or 10 people will be able to get, or even more for that price, you'll be able to cover somebody else, inshallah. I'm not saying, again, don't buy the best. I'm not saying don't dress up smart, yes, but within your means.
Yes, most definitely. Unfortunately, Mulana, we've come to the end of the show. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance, you know, for the good work that you do, alhamdulillah, and, you know, for always imparting such valuable gems of knowledge with us and my listeners. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Ameen, ameen. And we request the listeners to please remember us in your du'as, myself, my family, my late parents, and all my asatiza who have imparted any type of knowledge to me. It is only due to their sacrifices, and it is because of their du'as we can do what we are doing today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire them, Allah continue to accept them, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept them and accept us and our children for the service of deen.
Inshallah, ameen, thumma ameen, ya rabbal alameen, and please remember all of us in your du'as as well, inshallah. My beloved listeners, inshallah, next week, Saturday, we talk about celebrating Eid, the Sunnah way. Inshallah, my guest will be Apa Fahima Abam. And I look forward to hearing from you, inshallah. Please remember us in your du'as, and we will be chatting again, inshallah, next week, Saturday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.